Thank you very much, David, for that very warm welcome. Much appreciated. It is a real joy for me to be with you this evening. Thank you for the very kind invitation to come and to tell you something about the Lord's work in Norway and in the Scandinavian countries. It's not our work, but it's the Lord's work, and we're just thrilled to be involved in that. I must say, it's the first time I've been in this particular area. I've passed by it when I was young. I used to work in Perth, and at times I was in Dundee, and I would come down at times through Cooper, but this particular part of the countryside I have never been in before, so I apologize sincerely for that. You're living a lovely part of the world here. I want to bring you greetings from my wife, Jennifer. Jennifer is now in Norway. She's slightly stranded there, or she was stranded up until just recently because we couldn't get her passport renewed. Our lot was sent off to be renewed in July, and unfortunately we didn't get any word back until the end of August to say there was still another 6 weeks. But God intervened, praise God, and a lot of people were praying about her passport. So she's now preparing to go to Northern Ireland. She's a girl from Northern Ireland. I think a Scot had to go to Northern Ireland to find a bride. But there we are. So I went to Northern Ireland, and she did a very wise thing. She fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her. And that's a few years ago. So she's going to see her dad. Her dad's just a young 94. He's a young fellow, still stays at home and looks after himself. But Jennifer feels a bit of responsibility now to also help her sister to look after her dad. So she's going to be going there in a few days' time. We want to just say thank you to you folks here for your prayers for us. We appreciate that so much. I always want to say to folk like yourself, you must never feel that just by praying or if you support the work in different parts of the world, that's all you do. Actually, you are fellow workers with those who serve the Lord. And that's a very big thing indeed, if you grasp that, fellow workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for all your prayers. I was saved as a boy not too far from here. I see some children here and some younger people here. That's great. Lovely to see you. You might not believe it, but I was young one time myself. And when I was just a little boy, not too far from this part of the country, 2 hours drive, in Lanarkshire, I went to a Sunday school in Lanarkshire. And I had a very faithful Sunday school teacher whose name was Isaac Steele, and used to teach us some of the lovely stories from the Bible. I see even the Old Testament here and the New Testament. He made them living for us, these stories. And I remember one particular time about Joshua, hearing about Joshua and around the walls of Jericho, and we marched around because he put the seats in such a way, those were the walls, and we marched around, and then we all had to cry out. And he had actually tied string to some of these chairs, you see. And so when he got to a certain point, we all had to cry out after that seventh occasion when we marched around. And he pulled the string and all the chairs came crashing down. And I remember that as a boy at Sunday school. But there I heard about the Lord Jesus. And just as a wee fellow, I thought, Jesus died for me. And if I was the only boy in the world, he died for me because he loved me. And I trusted the Lord Jesus that Sunday, way back in 1954, and that's a long, long, long time ago. And if I tell you I was 8 years of age, your calculator's already flashing like nobody's business. You've worked out he's just a young 68 up here, isn't he? So that's when I trusted the Lord. So this year, I was 60 years saved by God's grace. Praise God, by God's grace. And I got baptized when I was 17. In the assembly at in New Stevenson. That was my spiritual home with spiritual elders who cared for me at times when I was slipping away here and slipping away there and wondering what life was all about. And they just cared for me and cared for all the young people in the assembly at that time. So that was just great. So that's where I was saved. And then very quickly went to Northern Ireland, got married to Jennifer in 1970. We have two girls. They were born in 1973 and also in 1976, and I'll tell you something about them when we got on with it. Now, anyone been to Norway? Right, David, how's your Norwegian? Pretty poor, okay then. Right, David's been to Norway. So I'm going to take you to Norway tonight, folks. Norway, this is the flag of Norway. Now, I want to tell you, this is not a political address here today. I hear some politicians are saying, look to Norway. That's what they're saying, look to Norway. So I've got to make that clear to you tonight. I haven't been brought in by the SNP to tell you about this wonderful country in Norway. I just want to say that to you. But I'm going to tell you some things about Norway, so at least you've got this historical background and the present situation. If you go to the Scandinavian countries, one thing is common with all the Scandinavian flags. Can anyone see it? Any of the boys and girls see what it is? If you turn the flag round a little bit, you have a cross on the flag. So every flag in Norway has a cross on it, belonging to Norway. And in Denmark has a cross, and also in Finland has a cross, and Sweden has a cross. You go to Shetland Islands, has a cross. Anyone from the Orkney Islands? No, okay. I'm not sure about the flag there. I should check that up. But all the Scandinavian countries have a cross on their flag. And this flag reminds me all the time about the Lord Jesus. Why? Because, number one, the cross is there. Number two, the red speaks about his precious blood. Now, in 2014 in Norway, many people don't say to us, don't say anything about the blood. Blood, don't talk about that. But we do. Because if you want to be cleansed from our sins, it needs the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And so that reminds me, of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So if you're preaching, make sure you mention the blood. Don't leave it out. It's very important to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his precious blood. The white speaks about his purity. Isn't that wonderful? In 2014, if you're a Christian, our minds has to be like the mind of the Lord Jesus. That's what Paul says. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So with internet, with everything that you can look at, with television, etc., you've got to make sure this mind up here, I'm going to keep it clean and pure. So you can switch off the thing. If you're watching something and you know it's not of God, switch it off. That's the secret. Keep your mind pure and clean for God. And the royal colour talks to us about his King of Kings. He is the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. So you can understand why I like the Norwegian flag. Norway, very quickly, this is it here. From the north, right down this part here, to the south. So we're bordered by Russia up here, and also by Finland, and also by Sweden. And I didn't get your place in here, but it's somewhere around about there, isn't it? There you are. That's where you are. Just there. Well, this is where we are here. So, what's the length of this country? To give you an idea. Let's all get into a bus. Okay? We're in a bus now. We're driving down from John O'Groats. Are you with me? No, you're not with me. Are you with me? Yes. And you've paid your fare? Right. We're driving down through. Down through Scotland. Down through England. Over the Channel. Into France. Down through France. Keep on going. Down to Italy. And some folk I know are interested in Italy here. And that's just great. And when you go down to Italy, you keep on going until you get to Rome. And when you do that, that's John O'Groats down to Italy. The whole way down. That's the length of Norway. Quite a long country, isn't it? It's quite remarkable. A third of the country up here is above the polar circle. It means in the summertime, the sun never sets. We're known as the country, the land of the midnight sun. So here's the horizon. The sun is up here. It comes down and goes back up again. It never goes down below the horizon. But in the wintertime, dear folks, it never comes up above the horizon. So there's very little light away up in the northern part of Norway in the wintertime. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll just be as dark as it would be at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's what it's like in the winter time up in the very north. Two-thirds of the population live around the coastal area. We have 5.1 million people. That's why some people keep saying, look to Norway, because we're just about the same population. 5.1 million people, and 75% live around the coastal area and in the southern part of Norway. One or two facts about Norway. Especially for the children, this is interesting. So if you're 5 years of age or 105, this is for you. Okay, here we go. The capital is Oslo. It is not Copenhagen. Any Americans here? Okay, I can say this then. Because if you ask an American, they say, oh, it could be Copenhagen's the capital. Or they might say, oh, well, is it not Stockholm is the capital? No, it's not. It is Oslo is the capital of Norway. Official languages, we have Norwegian, and that's divided into two. Bokmål, the king's language, and also New Norwegian. And then for the Laplanders, and I do not understand their language, that's way up at the very top of Norway, and then English. Okay. So, to give you a little flavour of the Norwegian language, would you like a little flavour of it? Because you're going to be speaking Norwegian at the end of the meeting today. Oh, you are. I want to tell you, you will be. And I'll explain that later on, okay? The language that I speak and Jennifer speaks is this Bokmål. It's called the King's language. So if I was saying to you tonight, delighted to be here, I could quote you a verse in Scripture without any difficulty. John 3:16, everyone quotes that, you know, for so har Gud elsket verden, han gav sin sønn den enbårne, for at verden som tror på ham, ikke skal fortapes, men ha evig liv. That's John 3:16 in Norwegian. But if I had to say to you in Norwegian tonight, delighted to see you, thank you for coming. And afterwards there's a cup of tea. Great. I would say to you, Tusen hjertelig takk at dere kom. Så koselig å se dere. Og etter møte I kveld, så skal jeg ha en kopp. Kaffe eller te? Kjempebra. Did you understand that? Well, I said to you in English before I said to you in Norwegian, so you must have understood it, okay? So it wasn't a problem. That's in Norwegian. Right, let's move on quickly. The government today, we have a constitutional monarchy. We have a king who's called King Harald. Praise God, he honours God. And we also have a prime minister, a lady prime minister, and she's called Erna Solberg. And Erna Solberg grew up in a Christian, with a Christian influence. And so we praise God for that. And in our government today in Norway, we have at least four ministers who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal saviour. Now, I just say, praise the Lord for that. I want to tell you that that's how I feel. Because I would rather have those people having an influence in government so that it affects our country. Because just up until last year, we had a Labour government. I'm not going out politics again. We had a Labour government and also Liberals, and they were taking the nations totally away from God. Any Christian influence, they wanted to eradicate it. In Christian schools, they wanted to stop it. So now we have a new government, and we are very thankful there's people like that who have an influence. Constitution was established on the 17th of May, 1814. So this year, 17th of May, it was 200 years old for Norway. And we celebrated, and we had our cups of tea and cake and sandwiches. It was just great, and big parties all around the country, because the country itself was looked upon as being 200 years old. We received independence from Sweden in 1905. Now, that means that Norway, from 1905, although the constitution was there in 17th of May, 1814, enjoys its freedom. Now, again, I've got to be very careful here, but freedom means so much. You see, Norway was under Nazi Germany during the Second World War. And under Nazi Germany, the people of Norway had to look up. They did not know what was going to happen tomorrow. Many Norwegians died. And so they did not know what was going to happen. But there are big changes taking place in Norway that I'll come to soon. And now the people don't look up, generally speaking. They look around because they've got everything. We have so much money. In fact, we don't know what to do with the money we've got now because of oil and gas and natural resources. So generally speaking, from the spiritual point of view, it's not been the best thing that's happened to Norway. That's a fact. Population, 2013, 5.1 million people, and so one of the records said 410. Okay, the economy, just to give you a little bit of background again. The economy in Norway, well, we have oil, gas, fish, timber, hydropower, tourism, and shipbuilding. You would think I'm giving a report on Scotland tonight, wouldn't you, when I put this up here? But that's what Norway has. And when Norway discovered that dark liquid out in the North Sea oil, in many ways it has become a blessing for the people. But in other ways it has not. And it depends how you look at that. But generally speaking, for the people of Norway, their living standard is very high. It's, according to the United Nations, it's the most desirable country in the world where to live, etc. And that is Norway. But that presents a challenge to us with regard to the gospel. How do we reach people who say they've got everything, but many of them have no hope for the future and have not fully understood the meaning of life itself? So, we have a very good economy, there's no doubt about that. Beautiful country, absolutely beautiful. It takes the breath from you. I drive over to Bergen, on this part of the road here, going through some of the mountains, and it takes us, by plane, it would take us about 35, 40 minutes. Driving, it takes us about 8 hours drive, because you've got to go around mountains and up and over and down and through tunnels, etc. Very picturesque, very beautiful. And here the people are going cruises. And this is actually one of the cruises going through one of the fjords and all these beautiful flowers with old buildings. The question is this. Why? Why mountains? Why stars at night? Why the sun? Why the moon? Why flowers? Why seas? Why constellations? And the big question is, why you? And why me? And that's interesting, because you see, a lot of people talk about how did this world begin? How did it start? How did it come into being? Now, I know that's important for some people. For me personally, I'm not so much interested in that. What I'm interested in is why I am here. Not how I got here, but why I am here. And this book gives me the answer. This is it here. For boys and girls and young people, this is it here. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, 16, 17, all things were created by him and for him. Now, if you grasp that tonight, when I was a teenager and grasped that truth, the reason why I live is that for my life, amongst millions and millions and millions of people, my life can in some way bring joy to the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were created by him and for him. Mountains, for him. Seas, for him. Flowers, after the snow and the ice has disappeared, and suddenly again you get resurrection taking place, and tulips come up, and you name it, they come up from frozen ground. How does that happen? There's not a flower that you see, but it is there for the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the big picture of life. And I haven't time tonight to go in and talk to you about it, but I say that to many young people at camps where we go. Grasp it. The reason why you're living is in some small way you can bring pleasure to God. Very typical of Norway scenes up in the mountains. Here is Jennifer in her national costume on the left-hand side. When we went to Norway, we decided to be like the Norwegians. Why? Well, when Hudson Taylor went to China, if you read the story of Hudson Taylor, he had a long garment on in China. And he grew his hair long, and he had a pigtail. Why? And the reason is quite simple, because he wanted to identify with the Chinese. His heart was like the heart of God. The culture was different from where he came from, but he wanted to identify with that culture. Because once the people of that nation saw him, they realized, this man is interested in us. And so we decided before God, being God's servants, that's what we would do in Norway. As best as possible, not with everything, but as best as possible, we would try to be like the Norwegians so that they could say, they love us because Christ loves them. And that's one way of doing it. And here, when it comes to National Day and the bands are out and they play beautiful music, it's all very respectful, etc., and around the coastal areas. Summertime, wintertime. Welcome to Norway in the winter. Okay. Now, where we live, last year the temperature was just minus 15 from the middle of December until April. That was average where we live, minus 15. All the roads are kept clear. Children have got to go to school. Footpaths are kept clear. No problem at all. Jennifer and I, we laugh our heads off when we see some of the photographs coming from United Kingdom when the buses have got stranded because there's only 4 inches of snow on the ground and schools have closed down because, you know, the temperature's gone down below -2. You know, and we think, huh? Huh? In Norway, way up in the far north, I was showing you, the temperature goes down to, they tried to beat the records last year. Do you know what the record is in the far north of Norway in the wintertime? -54.6. And last year they just failed. It got down to -52.4. They were disappointed. Not. They were so glad it just wasn't so cold. But there we are. And this is typical. When the snow comes to us, the snow comes to us around about either the end of December. Sometimes we're very fortunate to have a white Christmas, but usually it's about end of December into January, and it does not disappear until April. Because, of course, you see, it's below zero, and that's what it's like in the north. So this is very typical around the areas where we are. The great sports people love to go on skis. I love to go at least one occasion on skis each week. Around about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I go through the forest, and it's lit up in the forest, and there's snow on the trees, and the stars are shining, the moon is out, and there are tracks through the forest. Why do I do that? It's to take in the stillness at times, stop in an area, and just look around me. And like the prophets of old, who did not go on skis, but the prophets of old said, let us go into the presence of the Lord in quietness. And there's times that's important. And even in creation, you can understand the majesty of God, who, by the word of his power, brought all things into being. But again, going in skis, you identify with the Norwegians. So you have to get to be like the Norwegians. Talk about the Norwegians. If a Norwegian came to me tonight and said to me, Nat, what type of wax do you put on your skis when it's -4? I have to know that. So there are certain things which are important. Well, here's the 17th of May, and this is the capital, this is Oslo, and all the children, some of them with their brunads all dressed up, beautiful, and then they march and the bands are there, and the Vikings. Of course, the Vikings came to Scotland, didn't they? So if I had to say to you, I'm going to the kirk today, you would know what the kirk is, I hope. Well, that word kirk is taken from the Vikings. When we talk about the church in Norway, we talk about Jaskel til kirke, kirke today. Kirk, kirke. Talk about the bairns. Well, in English, in Norwegian, that is barn, et barn, barna, bairn. So there are many words that we still have in Scotland that came from the Vikings. Where are you going till? Where are you going till? Well, the word till we use as well. Hvor skal du till today? So there's a lot of things in Scotland that's come from Norway itself. And this here again is on the National Day, walking through the towns, and we're taking some of the photographs. Some of the face. Well, here we go. We have the Lutheran Church. So I don't know, you would say in Scotland, you have the Church of Scotland. I think this was an old Church of Scotland building, was it? This year. Okay. So in Norway, you have the Lutheran Church, not the state church now. It used to be this Lutheran State Church. And so I've got to be very careful now what I'm going to say, because there are young people here. But the Lutheran Church today has some lovely believers and some very good ministers. Praise God. That's my attitude to life. If they'd handle that book and preach that book and preach Christ and him crucified, and some people trust the Lord and get baptized, I say praise God for that. That's me personally from my heart. So there's still some good ministers. But unfortunately today, the church is in decline morally. And so I want you to pray, as you pray also for so-called Christians around the part of the world here and other places, that they will understand the true meaning of God's word. Because it was the state who appointed the bishops, and today in the Lutheran Church there are 12 bishops. We must have 6 women and 6 men, because Norway is a country of equality. So the state, that was not interested in religion at all, but they paid the bills, they appointed the bishops. And so today you have in Norway, in the Lutheran Church, 60% to 70% are total liberal in their theology. In fact, I have to say from my heart, I question the fact if they're born again. Because it's not how a man dresses, but what he says is the fruit from his life, for fruit from a lady's life is the important part. And what they teach and how they live, even, some of these people, it's not after God's word. Free churches are there. Charismatics are there. Charismatic churches are grown. I believe there should be, I'm not talking now about dancing and hopping about and everything else, but I believe there should be a charisma in the church which attracts people to Jesus Christ. There should be a joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you understand fully what God has done, I have to tell you, dear friend, there's sometimes I go into a corner and I cry with joy. I'm not trying to say this in a sort of personal, boastful way, but when I think that God saved me as a wee laddie in Lanarkshire, helped me to understand more and more of God's word, although I don't fully understand all of it, but I'm certainly reading through it daily to find more and more truth from it. And one day, in God's mercy and in God's grace, this fellow here will be like Christ. Can you take that in? If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the same capacity that the Lord Jesus Christ has, you will have. So when Amos comes along in heaven, and he's one of the minor prophets, or Nahum, or Jonah comes along and says to you, "What do you think of my first chapter?" You will know who it is. Why? Because the whole of Scripture is revelation. From Genesis chapter 1 to the end. The last book is Revelation, but the whole of it is revelation. God revealed himself to Adam. God revealed himself to Abraham. God revealed himself to Moses. God revealed himself to David. God revealed himself to Paul. God revealed himself, praise God, one day to Nat Rogers down in Lanarkshire. And I trusted Christ. And when we get home to glory, it's going to be a continual revelation, because you're going to be like Christ. And I'll tell you one of the other reasons why I believe that. Because I had a little niece who was born totally blind and did not have a brain and never knew who her mum and dad was. Never knew. And she died when she was 14 years of age, and I went down to see her grave yesterday. And one day I thought, God says in his word, we shall be like him. And my little niece is absent from the body, present with the Lord, and praise God, she will have a body like unto his body, in total perfectness. There's no other faith. Why do I believe in the Bible? Because there's no other faith like it. Not one. You cannot find another faith in the world like the Christian faith, truly preached and truly lived. Okay, let's move on very quickly here. Right, this is where we go. Shane became our base, but not our boundary. So in 1982, it's a long story how God called us, and we are quite clear, God called us. I want to tell you, if you want to go out and serve the Lord as a missionary sometime in the future, one of the first things important, make sure God is leading you through his word. That's what it's about. Now, you won't find Norway in Paul's letters anywhere. It's not there. So how do I know it was Norway? Well, you see, as we were reading God's word, take, for example, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Jesus is calling his disciples, and he says to them, listen, you guys, come here. Just leave that. Leave everything. Just leave everything and follow me. In the translation, I read it simply this. They forsook all, and they followed him. And see that phrase? God spoke to Jennifer and myself. They forsook all. Lord, does that mean leaving Northern Ireland? Does that mean leaving Jennifer's family? Does that mean leaving? And so many things. And the answer was yes. You get it in God's word. And again in other passages of Scripture. So get God's word is the first thing. Second light you want in is that God brings into being, into place, certain circumstances. People will talk to you. They know nothing about what you're thinking about. It might be a hymn at church. It might be somebody ministering here in the assembly, and they say something, and they do not know what you're thinking. And God brings all these things into place. And then you get an inward peace. And that happened to us. And so in 1982, we left to go to this place here, because we knew there was some work going on there and they needed some help, and so we went across to Shane. So it's our base, been living there for all these years. Bergen, we were across to Bergen to help in an assembly that started off in a little house, and now they have about 60 to 70 people in the assembly there. Praise God. A couple of people who were interested in some students, and one after one, they started to gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. And then, praise God, they also bought a Jehovah's Witness hall. I thought that was great. Throw the Jehovah's Witnesses out, false teachers, get them out, and bring the true gospel in. Oh boy, it just warmed my heart when I heard they bought that place. And they sacrificed an awful lot to buy that, those people. But they wanted the gospel preached there. So we go to Bergen to help out, to Carmoy. There's actually now 5 prayer houses that we help out in. Now, why do we call them prayer houses? Well, they call themselves prayer houses simply because they will not call themselves a gospel hall. You see, if we use the word hall in Norwegian, the word in Norwegian is sal, S-A-L. But the word sal automatically is linked to the Jehovah Witnesses. They have kingdom sal. So people would think, that's a Jehovah's Witness. So they don't do that. So they call themselves prayer houses. So if I say it was down in, let's say, in New Stevenson, where I grew up, it would be New Stevenson Prayer House. Why? You remember the time, on 2 occasions at least, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the temple. He was not a happy man when he went into the temple. And the interesting thing about that is this, when you think of it, everyone speaks about Jesus being meek and mild. He was and he is. But he was also very angry. It was a righteous anger. There are times when righteous anger is justified, because they were abusing the temple. And the money changers were there and they were making a fortune. And if you had to go up there and, well, you had to buy 2 turtle doves because you had to, you know, you could do the same as what was in the Old Testament. A rich man could bring a bullock, and if you weren't so rich, you could bring a lamb. But if you were a poor person, you had to buy 2 turtle doves and to offer them. And so people would go up and have to buy 2 turtle doves. And the cost of buying 2 turtle doves, if you had come from a long journey, was so expensive. And Jesus was angry, very angry. And he just got the tables and he just, woof. And he turned them over and he said, get out of here. Get out of here. My Father's house should be a house of what? Prayer. My Father's house should be a house of prayer. So these people call themselves prayer houses in local areas. And we go there to help them. Now, some of them are not functioning as you would function here. There's still some way to go, but I won't give up on them, because you've got to encourage them. They have their difficulties, they have their problems, they have their misunderstandings even of God's word, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You love them and be gracious and kind and sit with them and take some of their leaders and help them further to an understanding of God's word. Valderau, go there as well. Down to Vågsbygd outside of Kristiansand, and then to Denmark. In the 1980s through to the late 1990s, we were responsible for the summer camps, speaking at the summer camps in Denmark. And praise God, so many young people trusted the Lord. I hope all the young people here tonight have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, well, the next step is a step of obedience. It's quite difficult sometimes to understand that. But just to say, Lord Jesus, I want to identify with you. You died. You were buried. So I'm going to be buried as well in water to identify myself with you in your death and in your resurrection. And then you come up again from the water. It's the best funeral you could ever go to. You're put into the ground and within seconds you're taken up again. It really is. It's great. But you're identified with Christ and you say, I want to live for the Lord Jesus. And so we baptized many of those young people. And today, at least 85% of them are going on. And praise God, a number of the young men are leaders in many of the churches and assemblies. And then we go to Ukraine, and that's a separate ministry. Now, we call our building the International Bible Fellowship, or the International Bible Fellowship. Why do we call it that? Well, we call it that simply because that where we are in Shane now, there's a changing population. People coming from different parts of the world. And we want, where we are, to identify with the people of the world. So if you're international, it doesn't matter if you come from Africa or if you come from Hong Kong or if you come from South America, if you come from Norway, if you come from Finland, you come from England, come from Scotland, that doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is simply this, the person. You. So we're never taken up with the colour of a person's skin. It doesn't matter to us that. Actually, from a scientific point of view, we're all brown. I don't know if you knew that. There's not white and black and shades of white and shades of black. There's just brown, different shades of brown. That's a scientific fact. I haven't time to go in tonight to explain that, but that's what we are. So we call ourselves the International Bible Fellowships because people coming, we want to make sure they can understand that we are there for them. It's a fellowship. Well, the Bible is the most important part for us. This book in 2014, to me, is still the most important book you could ever read. This is it. Tells me everything about what I need to know. Tells me how to live as a husband. I hope you husbands tell your wives you love them every day. That's a challenge to you. And you wives do the exact same. Now, there might be some changes. I keep saying to Jennifer, when I married you, Jennifer, look at that photograph. I had more hair than any other man. But the changes have taken place. But I still love her, and she tells me she loves me. In fact, she was on the phone just when we were coming away there. And I said to her this morning, Jenny, have a great day. I love you. A good day, dear. Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Well, the Lord Jesus tells me every day he loves me. Does he not? It's here. It's here. And so husbands, love your wives, and wives, love your husbands. And how we live, if you're an employee, how you're an employer, you know, how you function in the church, what you do, how you do it, how we love one another. You know, the world round about us is not trusting Jesus Christ today in Europe. Why not? Because I feel in my heart, as it is in Norway, that we have lost this about loving one another. I mean, really. Now, we're all different. So what? There were a lot of strange animals that went into the ark. They were all different. But they were in the ark. And the ark is a picture of Christ. And if you're in Christ, I cannot turn around and say to you, "No, David over there? Not at all. I couldn't love that fellow. Not at all. You don't know him. Not at all. That's not how you think. As I look at David, I look at David and think, that's David. But in David, there's Christ. Well, Paul said that. Come on. Paul said that. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth outside of me. No, he never said that. But Christ that liveth in me. And so we've got to love one another. So that's what we seek to do there. And praise God, God is blessing that. And then we have a lovely couple with us. Some of you might know Nicholas and Ellen. Nicholas is Finnish. Ellen is from England. And praise the Lord, they did a wise thing. Nicholas came to Dundee to study, to get his PhD. And Ellen was up studying as well at the university. And they came to Scotland. And what better place to fall in love but in Scotland? So romantic, huh? Really, it's so romantic. And they fell in love, and then they got married, and praise God, they have come. It's a long story. I haven't time to tell you all tonight, but it's a roundabout story. But they certainly came to Shane to help us in shame, and we praise God for that. Nicholas is a tent maker. To some of the people, maybe some of the young people, you're wondering, what's a tent maker? Well, the Bible talks about people who do a work, and they work daily with their hands. It could be a joiner, it could be a plumber, it could be a university lecturer, it could be whatever it may be. But at the same time, their main goal is this, to help in a church somewhere or to help in missionary work. And that's what Nicholas and Ellen do. So keep praying for them and for their three children, Hannah, and also Isaac, and also Johan. They have three lovely children. And we are so thankful we work along together. Now, here's some of the folk, just one or two pictures, not too many, one or two folk we have in the church from Litauen, Lithuania, six children in that photograph. They now have seven. Our church is growing, praise the Lord, you know. They have seven children, they come along. It's just really good. And then from Africa, married to Norwegian, this girl, this lady here, came to know Jesus Christ. Wait to hear this. Came to know Jesus Christ through Catholic nuns in Kenya. Could you believe that? She did not believe in the Catholic doctrines, but she heard the gospel. And Anastasia says, one night in my room, I was reading my Bible given to me by a Catholic nun, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. She's my sister in the Lord, baptized, praise God. And she's just full of joy. So we are now working, Jennifer and myself, with this couple, in a work that's called Drop for Ripples, for poor children in Kenya, so they can get an education and through that come to know Christ as Savior. And from India, lovely family, and from China. This is joy. I think when her mum and dad gave her a name, they must have thought for a long, long time, and they picked the best name they could find. And it was joy. Sorrow may endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, saith the Psalms. And she's got joy. And I'll tell you, she is just joy. You see her coming into the church and her face is radiant of Christ. And life at times is not easy for her. Pray for her tonight. She's back in China and with her mum and dad. And pray for the home church in China. It's growing there. Praise God. Great things are happening in China. And joy is with us. And she brings so many unsaved Chinese friends to the church. Come, come, she says. Just come along. Won't be any Chinese food tonight, but we'll have a cup of tea and a pancake or something, you know. And she gets them along. So those are just some of the folk. Moving on quickly. I love being with young people. This is another area of the ministry we're involved in. Next year already, I have got 8 camps already booked up for it, just to be with young people. Because I want to tell them what life is about. Imagine an old fella like me having the opportunity to say to young people what life is all about. Well, it's just a joy to be with them and share a week with them. Great to have them at Sunday school. Great to have them during the week. But camps, as some people were talking about camps, you spend a whole week and you see the good parts of some of the leaders and you see the parts that are not so good. But the whole point is being with them. Helps them to understand Jesus Christ as Savior. One year we took some of the boys from Northern Ireland and girls from Northern Ireland in the 1970s up to Perth and the assembly in Perth and Perth Gospel Hall. They were wonderful to us. They were so kind. And we took 60 young people and 17 of them, when we got to camp, did not know the Lord Jesus. And I'll never forget what happened at that camp. God by His Spirit, because it's God's Spirit that leads a person to Christ. Nat Rogers cannot save anyone. It's an impossibility. But God's Spirit draws a person to Christ and reveals Christ. God's word is revelation, reveals Christ. And one by one, those 17 young people trusted the Lord Jesus. And so we come up with a song to sing. So if it was on a Monday the Lord touched you and you knew it was the hand of the Lord, that's when you got saved. Or if it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. And if you weren't just 100% sure, but you knew you were a Christian, you could say it was a someday. And we used to sing that. You want me to sing it to you tonight? It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. And I knew it was the hand of the Lord. And you could say it was a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Whatever day you trusted Christ, you could say that. And I remember going in the boat back to Northern Ireland with Catholic boys and girls and Protestant boys and girls and the sniffers. Some of them were young people who were not on drugs at that time, but they were sniffing glue. Young people, keep away from drugs. It'll ruin your life. I'll tell you something about the prison shortly. It'll ruin your life. Somebody comes up to you and say, just smoke that. Just a, it'll be all right. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. If they ask you to take a little pill, don't touch it. Because once they get you onto it, you can be hooked for life. So you've got to be very careful. So those young people came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And here's some of the young camps, some of the camps have been at. They're a happy bunch, aren't they? I think you're asleep there. I think we'll put the lights on again. They're a happy bunch, yes? Yeah, they're a real happy bunch. And great being with these people. And helping them to understand the message of the gospel. You see, life in Christ is what type of life? He came to give us life in all its fullness. And that's important these young people understand that, and others understand that too, God as well. So they that received his word were baptized, and we have had a joy of baptizing so many young people and others as well. These are just some of the young folks we baptized. Here they're all here. Lovely. A result of camp, a result of just being with that group in Bergen and others, and one or two of our own folks. So praise God. Now, 18 years ago, the Lord opened up in a wonderful way. What time do I need to finish here, David?
Before midnight.
Tonight? Yeah, okay, right. Well, we'll do it very quickly. Right, here we go. Prison. 18 years I've been in prison. In and out. Why was I interested in prison? Well, as a boy, a young man, I used to go with the male voice choir down in the Stevenson Gospel Hall, and we went to Berlini Prison. Anyone been in Berlini Prison? I said that at a meeting one night, and two men put up their hands. And it shocked the church. Oh, and they thought, we didn't know that. But those men had gone in with literature and with Bibles, you see. But anyway, when I was a teenager, went into prison, singing with the choir. And I used to think, God couldn't save anybody in here. That's what I thought at that time as a teenager. I remember one man coming up to me, and his head was as bald as could be. And he had tattooed on this, Rangers Forever. And then he said to me, what team do you support, laddie? I thought, I've got to say the right answer. So I said, Motherwell. And he said, that's all right. He was quite happy then, you see. But I used to wonder, can anybody be saved here? And then I heard about a man called Duncan Donaldson. I don't know if that rings a bell with you. Dunkey Donaldson down in Coat Dyke in Ayrshire. Used to take five policemen to take him to prison. He bit off part of a policeman's ear. He used to beat his wife. And then one day he trusted the Lord. It's a long story. He found Christ. And he used to go about with a jumper on, under new management. I thought that was great. Under new management. He trusted the Lord. That's what happens when you trust Christ. You're under new management. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. That doesn't mean to say everything immediately changes. It doesn't. What that means from the scripture is, from God's point of view, you're under a new management. You're now his. And so Dunkey was like that. And it was just great. And Dunkey used to phone me up, and I mean, I still weep when I tell you this story. He used to phone me up just when he felt the Lord was telling him to phone me up. And he would say, Dung Nat, I just phone you up to let you know I was praying for you this morning. Can you imagine a man used to spend so many times, years in prison, phoning the likes of Nat Rogers up to say, keep going on. And I would say, thanks, Dunkey. That meant so much to me. And people told me that he used to take his wee wife and put his arms around her and say to her, I love you. You're the most beautiful girl I ever met. And years before, used to beat her nearly to death. Only Christ can do that. So in the prison in Norway, I believe, right, let's get in with the gospel. So we had to wait a long time because it wasn't an evangelical chaplain we had. We have to work with a chaplain. I told the prisoners one time we had to wait a long time to get in, but we're delighted to be in now. And one prisoner said to me, the people in Scotland must be very slow, and they must be a wee bit thick. And I said to him, excuse me, what are you saying about the Scots? He said, well, you're telling me here you've waited all those years. All you had to do was rob a bank and you were in. You were in. I said, not that way. No, no. But there we are. Praise God. We're now in. And we have 14 different nations. We have Bible studies for different nationalities. I can't say too much about that because it's one of the things that I cannot do is to go into the details of it. But there we are. But pray for the Bible studies we have. Regular Bible studies and visits. Some prisoners coming from different countries are very lonely. They just want to talk to somebody. I just go in there and let them talk. A lot of lonely people in the world. Maybe a lot of lonely people in your church, your assembly here, need a visit. I don't know. A lot of lonely people about the place. I just want somebody to talk to. I was with a lady last night and she said, Nat, you're the first visitor I've had in 9 months, she said. A lot of lonely people about. So a lot of lonely people in the prison, and we've just got to listen to them at times, but also the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. Bible courses we use, Disappointments, we have so many disappointments. I can't go into the details of the disappointments, even in these years of being in prison. Prisoners we thought were so near to trusting Christ, and then after being 5 years, 10 years in prison, then they're released, and then they go back onto the drugs, and then their overdoses, and they're out into eternity. The youngest man was 19 years of age. He'd been in prison for 3 years, and he was only out 2 weeks, and he's now in eternity. Those are the disappointments. We have in the Sheen prison, I can say this to you because it's actually public, we have the prisoner who committed the murders in Norway 3 years ago. He killed over 70 people. It was very much in the news here. Okay, he's in their prison. I can't see him. Only four people are allowed to see him, his solicitor, the prison chaplain, his family, and the warders who look after him. That's only four. But the literature we take in, and we take in literature, and it's a library, I meet with in the library. We just meet with 12 people. I don't have more than 12, because it's top security. But those 12 who come in, I get a big hug from them, etc., and have some coffee and tea, and then we catch up with the news and how their family is. But I'm always reminded of the fact that outside the wall, there are people who are suffering because of what these people have done inside. So that's part of it. Got to find this balance. And I tell them, don't come to me and say you've trusted Christ because you hope that will reduce your prison sentence. It will not. It will not. You have to serve your time. That's the way it is. But we've had people in prison who have committed triple murder. We have people who come to our Bible studies who have done that. We have people who have come who are drug addicts. We have people who have come who are drug barons. We have people who have come who have done some serious thing to, and I won't say too much tonight, etc., all of that. But they come. And the gospel can change them. One man said to me, your message cannot change me. And I said, it can, if you allow it. He said, your message cannot change me, Nat. And I said, if I can find someone in the scripture that did the exact same as you did, would you think about it? And he said, yes. And I knew what he had done. And I said, there was a man called Moses, and he murdered a man. And God used him. And that's the secret about knowing the Bible a bit. You can relate it to so many situations. And God used Moses mightily. And do you know something? 1 year later, that man who said to me, your message cannot change me, is now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because Nat saved him, just because he started to read his Bible, a Gideon's Bible. Praise God for the Gideons. Praise God. And he has his Bible there, and he's reading it. And God, through the Word of God, changed it. Transforming changes, yes, we've got that. Before and after, we have tried to help prisoners who found Christ once they're released, because they come from all different parts of Europe and Africa and different places like that. We have to try to help them to come into an evangelical church. If a murderer came in here who'd served his sentence, how would you tackle that problem tonight? That's the reality of life. And so we have to face up to that at times. So we try to help them to find assemblies and churches that are willing to be helpful to them. This is Nat going in very quickly. Going in, this is the prison. Our prison song is Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. The reason why we sing that is quite simple, because you come to a line that says, and the walls came tumbling down. So we sing, that's our prison song. And we sing that with the prisoners. And this is my friend, I can tell you about this one man. This is Jon, pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Half of his life spent in prison, in different parts, also in Asia. Then he came to Norway. He was serving, he would tell you himself, he was serving a 10-year sentence. But he found Christ, and he dedicated himself to saying, right, I'll study the Word of God. And he took a 5-year course to get a theological degree, because he wanted to go into the prison to tell others about the Lord Jesus. So to get into the prisons in Sheen or in Norway today, you have to have a theological degree. So I had to study that myself, simply to get a BD at the end of my name. Jennifer says, I think the B stands for bad, you know, but that's just the way it is. But anyway, that's just to stay in the prison. And this man now is released. This man is now, this man here sitting at his desk, I can't tell you the city, in Norway. And do you know what he is? He is responsible for the mission work on the streets in that city where he is living. And he goes down on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays with food and coffee and tracts and literature. And he meets the prostitutes, and he meets the down and outs, and he meets so many people. And I just say, God, bless him mightily. Bless him mightily. You see, you're just a link in the chain. You are not the whole chain. You will never be the whole chain. You're just a link. And if it was for me and Jennifer to go to Norway to meet this man, I would have gone again and again and again. Because now he's meeting hundreds of people and sharing the gospel with them. That's what it's all about. Never think you are a nobody. God knew about you even before you came into your mother's womb. And then when you came into your mother's womb, he has followed you. You are someone that God wants to use mightily. And it could just be at school. It could just be at university. It could be at home. It could be a grandmother with grandchildren. I'm telling you, we've got to see things through God's eyes. We are not nobodies. We are the children of the Almighty. And he just wants us to serve him. Keep praying for Yon. He'll appreciate that. Friendship evangelism. How are we going to get people to come to church? Through friendship evangelism. Get to know friends. Make friends. How do you make friends? Well, find something common with someone. Someone you work beside. Someone at school you might have some interest in. Here's the Lord Jesus. And he is on a journey. And he's going to go through Samaria. And the disciples are saying to him, don't go there. Don't go near the place. And Jesus said, that's where we're going. But Lord, you know the problems and the political situation. We're going to Samaria. And he goes through there to come to a well. And when he comes to the well, he's thirsty. And there's a lady in the town. And she's had five husbands. And she comes to the well. And she came to draw up water. And the Lord is thirsty. Now the Lord could have said to her immediately, I know all about you. I know your background. I know what you've been up to. I know the type of person you are. He didn't do that. He did not do that, friends. He used the water. He was thirsty. She came to draw water. And they started to talk about water. They found a common denominator. Find common denominators. You don't have to preach too much. You just have to live Christ. And I'll tell you, this fellow here is standing here tonight because of an old lady called Mrs. Adair, who used to look after my mother and father when they lost their first two children. The oldest one was 3 years and the youngest one was 6 hours old, and they lost their first two children. And my mum and dad's life was shattered, and my father turned to drink. But Mrs. Adair, she didn't preach. She just brought soup and a dinner and different things and said all of that for a long time. And then one day she said to my mum and dad, would you like to go to a gospel meeting? There's a wee man coming from Glasgow. And you could hear him. And my father said to my mum, on one occasion, only for once I'll go, only one occasion, because of that wee lady. And my mum and dad went to the meeting that night, and God did something nobody else could do. And that meeting in New Stevenson Gospel Hall, my mum and dad holding hands were in tears because the Spirit of God moved through it. Oh, Lord, send us a revival to Scotland. Mum and dad were in tears, and both of them looked at one another and said, will we trust Christ tonight? And mum said, yep. And it changed my dad's life because of a wee lady. Can you believe it? A link in the chain. And so the gospel came into our home because of this wee lady. Praise God. Praise God for you sisters. The church has been so held up because of sisters around the world. Sometimes the men have failed miserably. But sisters, well, I just have big admiration for you. I really have. Friendship evangelism, get to know friends, make friends. Here are some of the young men I teach. At least get to be with them about three times a year. We get together for a wee bit fishing on a Friday, and then after that, it's down to Saturday, Sunday, serious Bible study. And then this is my friends as well, and I go to be with the Holy Riders. Have you heard of the Holy Riders on the motorbikes? Well, there you are. Sometimes, don't take anyone just by the sort of the outside appearance. This man here is a trophy of God's grace. Unbelievable. And he came to a camp one particular time, and he said to me, Nat, we don't get the teaching you're giving with the group I'm with. Would you come to the Holy Riders in Bergen and give us some help with teaching? And I said, it'll be a real joy. It'll be a real joy. So maybe the next time if I turn up here in a motorbike, a 1,000cc motorbike with black leathers on, you know, I've been converted to the Holy Riders. But I don't think I'll do that. But there we are. You've got to have a heart for people and to understand them and understand their background. And then reaching out even to folks that are a wee bit older than yourselves, and this is it here. And this man here and his wife, we helped him 30 years ago from America, and now they're responsible for having over, well, they've just retired, but they had up to about 9,000 to 10,000 young people every year in America at camps. And we were the link in the chain, nothing more than that, just encouraging them to do something for God. Ukraine, and with this I finish, we've gone down to Ukraine to help there as well with our Norwegian brethren. We've taken down ambulances. We have three orphanages in Ukraine. We get into schools, and then we have Bible colleges I visit as well. Some people will say the assembly should be the only place where you preach Christ. And I say, I'm all for that. But there are a lot of young people, and there are a lot of people in the world today who have never been privileged, as you are privileged here in Scotland or Northern Ireland, where Jennifer comes from, to hear the Bible teaching and the ministry that you can get. So therefore, these young people here come from different parts of Ukraine that's very much in the news, and some of them come from the troubled areas where the war is on at the moment. And do you know what they want to do? They want to tell people about the peace of God. Can you believe that? A war-torn area of Ukraine, and young people who have come to a Bible college, and they just want to tell people about the peace of God. And so they come from different backgrounds, different theological backgrounds. That doesn't worry me at all. What I'm interested in is getting them into God's word to see for themselves biblical truth, how they function, how they should function, how they should live, even in churches. So, the family. Jennifer said, if you put that photograph up, that's a motley lot. I don't know if you know what that means, but over in Ireland, that's a motley lot. Anyway, here we go. Two wee girls. That was Lynn, the oldest. She's now 41. And this is Louise. And we pointed to Louise to the Lord before going to Norway. God sealed that. And the same night I pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lynn was already a believer. The night I pointed to the Lord Jesus, we got a phone call from Norway to say that our resident permit and our work permit had been granted. Can you believe that? The time that we'd applied, we had to wait. And then the night I pointed her to the Savior, on the same night, God answered prayer. So here we go. This is Lynn and Andreas, her husband. And this is Philip. He's now 12 and he has trusted the Lord. Jonathan has also trusted the Lord. So you can never be too young to trust the Lord Jesus. There we are. And you can never be too old. And you can never be too rich. And you can never be too poor. But you can be too late. And we just thank God that Jonathan has trusted the Lord and Philip. And this is Christian. This is Louise and her husband, Geir, here. And these are our two children. And this is Christian. And Christian is 6 and a half. And this here is Leon, the troublemaker, you know. We have four grandchildren and that wee fellow there. You wonder why I try to keep slim. It's because I'm running after him all the time. Where are you now? Where have you gone? Come here. Come and give Grandpa a hug and all that. And we want to thank you for praying for our children. And this is Jennifer here and myself. Very briefly, I'm finishing now. I want you to pray for missionaries' children. I know you pray for missionaries, but when we took those two little girls to Norway, to a different culture, to a different language, to a whole lot of things that were different, they were part of the baggage. They were not called. We were called. But they were not called. And so it's so important you pray for missionaries' children that they will come to know the Lord Jesus and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Now, I started off by saying about learning Norwegian. But before we get to that, I want to encourage you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In this assembly here, keep pushing on. Keep going on. Keep asking God to come in and mightily use you. Pray for a revival in this area, because your work is not in vain. Archie Naismith said this one day, whatever you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, he writes over it, It's not a waste of time. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Keep pushing on. Norwegian. Here we go. I was asking David there how his Norwegian was, and he... yeah. You know? Well, it's very simple. From my heart to your heart, I want to say tonight, tusen takk. And that means a thousand thanks. That's all it means. Thousand thanks. So I'm going to say it again, and then after the count of three, you dear folks are going to say it, okay? Tusen takk. One, two, three. I didn't hear you there. I'm going to get you to say it again, okay? I'll say it again. Tusen takk. One, two, three. Great. And it means when you go down to the shop tomorrow, ladies, and you buy a loaf, and the lady behind the desk gives you it and gives you money back, you say, tusen takk. She'll probably wonder, what type of person has come in here, you know? But you say, I'm speaking Norwegian. So there we are. From my heart to your heart tonight, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the opportunity. The Lord bless you here mightily. I mean that with all my heart, mightily. And keep praying for us, as we will certainly be praying for yourselves. So will I give thanks and just ask the Lord's blessing on what we're about to receive. Father, thank you.